Lord, that you would give up heaven for us. The one who holds the universe together would come and live and walk among us and die on a cross for the sins of the world. Lord, there's no other love like yours. There's no other sacrifice as precious. Father, that you would give your only Son for us. We thank you, Lord.
The Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John, and we're actually going to begin chapter 3 tonight, where we have left off the prior week. And it's been a wonderful blessing. Looking at the book of 1 John, it is a book that is very dynamic. It touches on very different subjects. And if you have not been joining us in the series, we invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. Just click on the podcast page. You'll be able to listen to them all on your computer, or you can download the app, either your iPhone or your Android, so you can be able to listen to all of our episodes on demand. You can also visit us on Facebook, where we weekly post up our podcasts, or you can subscribe through iTunes for auto download to your computer or your phone each and every week. Also, remember to tune in to the Brother Lewis radio talk show that is live. It's going to be live now on Saturdays, being tuned to Brother Lewis's webpage as he, when he puts up those news. It's a very interactive show where you can call in and you'll be able to participate in the program. Remember, you can reach us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or at our webpage. Just hit the contact page or on Facebook, or you can contact us at 305-320-7727. It's always a blessing to be able to hear from our listeners. Drop us a line. Let us know that you're listening, or if you need a prayer or have a question on one of the programs or a comment or a testimony you would like to share, feel free to send us a line. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us tonight in prayer?
Amen. Holy Father, tonight we come before you to praise you, Father, to give you honor. Father, to speak your precious word. Father, tonight we ask you that your Holy Spirit may overshadow us, Father, that he would take control of our mouth, that we can declare, Father, your precious truth to your people, Father, and that your truth may change and deliver your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what and laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure. Laid behind the storm. above all, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John chapter 3. And in case this is your first time tuning into the program, 1 John is a very important epistle. It is a very important letter from the Apostle John to the church. And the Apostle John is is a very special individual in that he was involved and he was able to see things that many others did not see. He was alive in the ministry of Jesus Christ, and which we can say is probably the most exciting period of history, probably only second to his second coming, which, if God willing, we'd be able to see that ourselves. So John was able to participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus perform miracles. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead. He was there at the crucifixion. He was a witness to his resurrection. And not only was he an apostle that participated in the growth of the church, but he also received the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book that we call the Book of Revelation. And in there is a book that contains so much of the things that are occurring now and will occur in the future. So he was able to get a glimpse of the future, and he was able to see Jesus on his throne and coming down on the earth to establish his kingdom. So in this book, we see that it's a book that John already knew that as Christians, we had victory, not only because he was a witness to Jesus Christ's ministry, not only because he was witness to his resurrection, but he saw the end of things. He saw the end of the world and the end of this wicked system. So it's one of the reasons why we see that he so strongly encourages the believer. And tonight we're going to start in chapter 3, and we're going to see that chapter 3 is going to be a chapter filled with exhortation, specifically against sin. So it's very important to pay attention how he begins this chapter, and then in the direction in which the chapter goes. So we start in chapter 3, and the scripture says in 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And I like the way that John begins this chapter. Behold. I love that word, behold. It's a very strong word, and it's a word that's trying to direct your attention somewhere. It's a word it's not just like saying, look at this, but it's pointing to something, and it's emphasizing something where we should be addressing our attention to, something that is important. Whenever we look at the scriptures and we see that word behold, especially in the King James, it is something of great revelation. In fact, that's what that word behold, it means to see. And John says, behold. And right after he speaks about this word, behold, and he gives this emphasis, look, put your attention to this. This is something that is of great importance. And the next thing he does, he points to the love of the Father. He says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, or given to us. Another version says, lavished on us. And brothers and sisters, one of the most important things to be able to be successful in the Christian walk is to know how much God loves us, is to know how far God went to save us. You see, that's what the message of the gospel is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it all begins with love. In fact, Paul the Apostle tells us in the book of Corinthians that the three greatest things are faith, hope, and love. But love is the only thing that will endure forever. And one of the things that we're going to see is that in the next verses in this chapter, the Apostle John is going to make a great emphasis on that a person who is a Christian, a person who is a son of God, should not be living in sin. It should not be natural for that person to be living a life of sin without experiencing some form of conviction. And we see that he begins this chapter with love, and that's something that's so important, because one of the things that separates and distinguishes between grace and between the law is that during the period of the law, you did things so that you can get something out of it. But in the New Testament, we obey not because there's something that we want to get out of it, but because we've already received. See, the Bible tells us, and we'll see as we go through the book of John, is that God is the one that loved us first. He is the one that initiates things. And we see that from the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fall, the very first thing they do is they run away from God. They hide from him. They're ashamed to see him because they know that they did wrong. And that's exactly what sin does to a person. It causes them to hide. It causes them to try to put up a front, put up a wall. And the person who took the initiative to seek them out was God. When Cain slays his brother, it is God that comes and looks for Cain and confronts him. And he says, Cain, what have you done? Because that is the love of a father. When Israel would sin and rebel against God, God would send them prophets to warn them, to try and bring them back to the truth. Because God does not want anyone to be destroyed. It is not his will for anyone to perish, but that all men come to repentance. And it is important, if you're a new Christian, if you've been a Christian for several years now, if you've been a Christian for decades, for you to understand, for us to understand the importance of God's love. You see, one of the greatest hindrances in the life of a Christian is insecurity of that love. It's to believe that somehow God has rejected us, to believe that somehow God will disown us because we're not good enough. But even before we were born, no one alive now can say that Jesus died for their sins after they were able to prove that they were worth something to God. Because no one here alive today was alive when Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins way before we were even born. And in fact, the Bible says that he is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before God laid the foundation of the earth, it was already said that Christ was going to die for the fallen humanity. And brothers and sisters, that is something that should encourage us. See, the love of God is what brings us closer to him. It is what strengthens us. It is what allows us to be strengthened in our faith and to overcome sin in our lives, because our Father loves us so much that he will empower us to overcome sin. The Bible tells us that it is the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. I know that in the past, there used to be an emphasis on preaching hellfire messages. And though I believe in the importance of preaching the whole counsel of God, and hell is one of those subjects, yet we do not see that people repent out of judgment. They repent, as the scripture says, when they encounter God's kindness, when we know that we deserve something bad, yet God has mercy on us and has grace upon our lives and does not give us that which we deserve. That is something that transforms the heart. It is like being in front of a train track and seeing a train that is about to crush you, and suddenly you're pushed out of the way. Brothers and sisters, God's love is what should strengthen us. That's why the Bible emphasizes so much on the love of the Father. In fact, God loves us so much that the Bible says that He loves us as much as He loves Jesus. In fact, let me find that verse for you. And He says, "Behold, what manner the love of the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That we should be called the sons of God. One of the things that John here is emphasizing is the privilege on being able to be called a son of God and what that entails. In fact, it means many things. It means when God is our Father, it means that He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our leader. He is our counselor. And He has also given us an inheritance in Christ Jesus. We are not just anybody, but we belong to a king. And that's something that's so important, because we live in a generation that is so focused on self-esteem, that is so focused on identity. And identity is something that is very important. But however, as Christians, we have to understand that our identity is not connected to anything. It's not connected to a movement. It's not connected to our cultural background. But it has to do with our Father. Our identity is based upon whose children we are and who lives in us.
Amen. I want to look a little bit of what Pastor Javer spoke here about the Father's love. And I like the way it says it in mine. It says, "How great is the love of the Father." When we look at the book of John, chapter 15, verse 13, it talks a little bit about this great love. And it says this: "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friend." You know, we hear in our society about love, and we have conversations with others, and we say we love them. We say that we love our cars, we love our homes, we love our clothes. But is that the love that the Bible is describing about God? As we can see that the Bible refers to that love, that God gave His life for a friend. It wasn't even a son. It was a friend, somebody that He knew. Now, I'll ask you a question today. Would you give your life for a friend? And perhaps for someone that doesn't really talk well about you. You know, that's why God's love surpasses human understanding. Because most of us, we won't put our life in danger for somebody that hates us or someone that talks bad about us. So Jesus is special. He is not an ordinary person. With that said, there's something else that somebody that loves you does for you. And that we could find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 6. And one of the things Pastor Javer spoke about, he says that we are children of God. He takes us in as His own children. And you know, something that I've learned throughout the years of being a father, and actually of more than one, because I've helped many children and many kids and discipled them throughout my life. And when you love your child, there's times that you have to correct them, you know. And when you correct and disciple your children, it's not something that you hate them, but it's something that you're helping them mature and grow in, so they could be better people. You know, I remember when I was growing up, my life wasn't that good. I got involved in many things, and when I had a child, I said I was going to do everything possible so that I could make his life better than mine. I remember that I was going to public school, and I said to myself, I'm going to pay, and I'm going to sacrifice myself so that my son could have a good education. And then I said, I'm not going to have my son lack in the areas that I lacked when I was a child. I'm going to help him go through college. I'm going to help him, you know, get his first car. I'm going to help him, you know, in the things that he needs. But there were times that I had to put my foot down and bring correction to my son. And sometimes he didn't like it. But the fact of the matter is that that was part of his development. And here in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says, because the Lord disciples the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So God is a true father. He's not just one that tells you something and then takes it away. He's not the one that tells you he loves you and then lies to you, deceives you. You know, one of the biggest problems we have today, brothers and sisters, and this is something that's happening in the church, and it's very saddening when you have somebody in the altar that says that he's your dad. But yet, there's people in the church, brothers and sisters, that are losing their home. I don't know how I could call somebody my son and know that he's losing his home and that I won't extend my help to him. I don't know how I could say I could be a dad to somebody and know that they're in lack of food and not being able to help them and take food to their home. So the word love is a plain word when it doesn't involve action. Jesus just didn't say that he loved us. He demonstrated by going to the cross for sinners just like you and I. And one of the things that we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that if we truly love someone, and it's truly from the heart, and it's not because of gain or any other matter, we will be there for the ones we love.
Jesus Christ, in his high priestly prayer, which we know is a very important prayer, is a very intimate prayer between the Son and the Father. And in John 17, verse 22, he says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them, as thou hast loved me." Here in this intimate prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 23 of the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus makes an emphasis that God has loved us just as much as he loved Jesus. And that, brothers and sisters, should empower us. Because we often think that God would love us more if we were just could do better. But here we see that Jesus, who is perfect, is loved by the Father. And we who are imperfect, the Father loved us as Jesus. And this was something that Jesus said even before he went to the cross. And that's something that's so important, because the symbol and the demonstration of God's love is in the sacrifices Jesus. As Brother Lewis was reading right now, there is no love without sacrifice. A husband who does not sacrifice for his wife does not love his wife. A husband that doesn't sacrifice for his family does not love his family. A friend that is not willing to sacrifice for another friend does not love that friend, because if there is one word that defines love, it is sacrifice. God showed us his love in that he gave up his only son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says in the New King James, says, but God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this is something very important, brothers and sisters, because sometimes we don't believe that God loves us because we don't feel it. We don't believe that God loves us because we may be going through difficult circumstances. But those are not the signs. Those are not the marks in which God shows his love. The measure in that God loves us is the fact that he saved us. It's the fact that his son, his only son, on that cross was crucified and experienced torture and pain and suffering for the sins of the world, for my sins and your sins. And what happens is that we live in a world where feelings are what dominate. But the Bible doesn't call us to walk by feelings. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And there are times, brothers and sisters, that if we pay attention to circumstances and towards feelings, we will fall and we will doubt God's love. That's not to say that feelings are wrong. That's not to say that it doesn't feel good to actually feel the presence of God and feel his love with us. But we must know it by faith. There's this order of things. First is faith, then is fact, and then is feelings. Or fact, faith, and feelings. We have a fact that Jesus died for our sins. And we put our faith in that. And then come the feelings. But first is the fact and our faith in it. And the next part of this verse, he says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. There's a contrast here, that if we are the sons of God, then that means that we are not to be intimate with the world and with the system. And when it says that it knoweth us not, it does not know us. It's speaking about intimate relationship. It's speaking about not being intertwined in a very close way. It means that we're strange to the world, that we're weird, we're peculiar, and we're supposed to be that way. We can't be comfortable with the fads. We can't be comfortable with the popular things of this world, with the newest crave and the newest fashions, and not because we're deliberately trying to be different, but because we are inside different, because we are sons of God. We are made in his likeness, and our desires, there should have been a great change that happened in us that makes us look different. Our marriages should look different than the world. The way that we do business should be different than the world. Because in everything we do, the world should see God. The world should see the Father. In fact, that's something that Jesus Christ says in John 17:21, that one of the reasons why he's praying in John 17:21 for us to be one is so that through us the world can believe. So that the world can believe that Jesus was truly sent by the Father. And because the world did not know Jesus, as we see when he came, the system did not accept him. The religious system rejected him. The leaders, the political leaders at the time, rejected him. He was bad for business, For those that were selling, buying and selling in the temple, he cast them out. Jesus was not very popular with those that desire to manipulate society. And in this world and in this time period where society is greatly manipulated by television, by the media, by technology, by politics, they also will not accept us. Just today I was hearing a story about a situation that's going on in Georgia, and where the director of the Department of Health of Georgia, who happened to be a Christian, they asked him to provide the sermons that he was preaching in his church as a lay pastor, and they fired him for preaching the Word of God. And this has brought up litigation, but we're seeing the beginnings of persecution, of intolerance towards Christian, which it hasn't happened now, but we're seeing it escalate. And it's going to come to a time where it's going to be impossible to flirt with the world without denying Christ. It's going to come to a point where we have to make that choice to follow Christ and lose everything, or reject Christ and follow the world. You see, though it's a decision that we all have to make spiritually, willing to obey God in all things, not just spiritually, but obey Him and His commands. But very few people in the United States have had to leave their homes, have had to lose their jobs, have been abandoned by their families. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but it's very few compared to brothers and sisters in China, North Korea, and Iran, and places in the Middle East where you're hung, killed, crucified if you become a Christian. And those individuals face a real life and death decision of following Christ and paying with their lives, or continuing the way they're living and without Christ and live comfortable in this world. And I believe that that choice is coming soon to America, where we're going to be seeing more and more things like this, because the world would just not tolerate Jesus. And if Jesus is truly in us, the world would not accept us, because it did not accept Him.
Amen. Brother Javer just spoke about the world not knowing Jesus. And I want to read a scripture. I think it brings it all down to an understanding, because this is something that happened to the Jews when Jesus came as their Messiah and they rejected Him. But here in John chapter 4, verse 9, this is an encounter that Jesus has with a Samaritan woman. And this is what she says. "You are a Jew," said the woman. "How can you ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And one of the reasons for that was because Jewish people don't associate with Samaritans. Now, this woman was looking at Jesus as a regular Jew. She didn't know who was talking to her. So this is what Jesus answered her. And this is in verse 10. Jesus answered, "If you know the gift of God, and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." Living water. Salvation. And a lot of times, this is what happens to people when they look at us. They look at us as regular individuals, and they can't understand why don't we associate with worldly people. They think that we're some crazy people, some fanatic people, that really can't comprehend life, or we're missing out on something. But they fail to look inside and see Jesus. You know, one of the things about the Jews at the time, they were more concerned about external experience than internal experience, because if they would have had an internal relationship with God, they would have known who Jesus was. Because when Jesus came to earth, he just didn't come to earth preaching the gospel. But he also came with demonstrations, and they themselves said, "How is it that this man does such things?" Friends, sometimes we could be consumed with things of the world and fail to see the most important things in front of us. One of the things that I like about the Samaritan woman, that after Jesus said this to her and she found out who he was, she ran to tell others. And brothers and sisters, this is something that every one of us should do. Run and tell others about Jesus. Run and tell them what Jesus has just told you. Run and tell them that Jesus has just saved you. This is what we feel when we are touched by our Father.
1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Here again we see the first verse, John makes an emphasis on the love of the Father. And in verse 2, he calls us beloved, meaning one who is love, one that is dear. And that's what John is emphasizing here, is that is our identity, ones who are loved. And there's something so important why John continues to emphasize that. And he says, "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I believe what John is speaking about here is about the transformation that we are going to experience physically when Jesus comes back. And we are going to receive glorified bodies so that we can be able to experience heaven. Because that's something that's so important. The Bible shows us that no man is able to see God. And I believe that's because our bodies are not able to handle his glory. And one of the things that we should be looking forward to is that one day we will have new bodies, ones that are like the body of Jesus. Because when we see when Jesus Christ resurrected, he had the ability to go through walls. He had the ability to become spirit and at the same time materialize. He was able to eat. He was able to be touched. And Paul mentions something very important. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, he says, "For we that are in this tabernacle," which is speaking about the body, "do groan, being burdened not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." That we would be clothed, and that mortality, the part of us that dies. Because that's the thing, brothers and sisters. There's a saying that goes that from the minute we're born, we begin to die. From the minute we're born, we begin to age. And the older we get, the more it becomes apparent that our bodies are dying. But there will be a day where we will no longer age, where we will no longer have to battle with sickness, with the curse of the fall. There will be a day, brother and sister, that perhaps you're listening tonight and you're experiencing enduring pain in your body because of physical ailments, or perhaps an accident or sickness that came upon your life, or old age. We have a hope, brothers and sisters, that will not end here. See, one of the tragedies about the life that we live in is that once we experience a specific time, we can never get it back. You can never go back to your childhood. You can never go back to your youth. You'll never be able to experience it again. You may feel youthful in heart and in mind, but you'll never be able to go back and experience that through your body. But we have hope, brothers and sisters, that we one day will no longer have to battle with these physical things that we experience today. And we will be able to see God for who He really is and how He really is. We won't need a veil. We won't have anything that will stand in the way of being able to wonder at His glory. One day, brothers and sisters, continue in that hope. Do not stop believing. Do not stop believing in Christ. Continue on. Because unlike the world, unlike those who put their trust in money and in riches and in science, there's people today that are so fearful of dying that they're investing millions and millions of dollars into trying to find eternal life through science and medicine. And that's one of the things they want to do with cloning. They want to see if they can preserve a life, if they can take out death out of the DNA and live forever. But that is a lie of the serpent. The truth is, death will surely come to all of us. However, those who put their trust in Jesus will one day be raised up or transformed into new celestial bodies.
Amen. Let's take a look again at this verse that Pastor Javer just spoke about. It says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears," in other words, when Jesus appears again, "we shall be like Him." Not when it talks about "we shall be like Him." What is it referring to here? One of the things that human beings carry is sin. And one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth is to save the sinners. And what is one of the qualities which Jesus has? He is holy. So what it's referring to here is that God is going to take away our filth and make us holy. Not only that, Javer spoke about the second aspect of this, and it's also healing. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, maybe you're lame or you lost some part of your body. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, you will be restored. That's why it says you don't understand what it is to be taken into this glorified body that the Bible is talking about. You know, all the suffering that you may have passed and have gone through in your past, it'll be wiped away. So this encounter with God is going to be a special moment. That's why it says, listen, because a lot of us are just concerned about our situation. Oh, I don't have money. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, what's going to happen to me? Oh, what about if the atomic bomb? What about if the wars? You know, we're all consumed in this diabolical scheme that the devil has us fearful about. But when God comes and He removes all those things from our lives, we won't have any more things to worry about. We're going to be in the Father's paradise in His hands. You know, one of the things that I could relate to being with my father, that I know that when I lived with him, I had peace. Listen, I didn't have to worry about if I was laid off in my job, because I knew I had a roof that I had over my head, whether I had a job or not. I didn't worry about if there was going to be food on my table, because I know that my father was going to take care of this. But listen, greater things is that God has for us than what our natural father has for us in this world. And that's why a lot of us are so consumed and a lot of us can't understand. God, where are you? What? God already has it all set up. The Bible says he even has mansions for us ready. So why are you trying to acquire wealth? Why are you trying to build yourself a castle here when you already have an inheritance in heaven? See, the people that do this is people that don't understand that we're only living here a short time. And then it says this, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what is it that we will see in Jesus as he is? Number one, holy. Number two, as our true father. Not one that mistreats his children. Not one that abandons his children. Not one that lies to his children. But one that will shepherd his children. That will love his children. And that's different, brothers and sisters, than what the world thinks and does. You know, it's sad to say, but you got many parents today that say, well, you know, we had a child, you know, we got to put him to school, so we'll send him to public school or whatever. But when he's 18 years old, send him out to the world. Listen, we're not fathers just because we have a certain age that we need to, you know, take care of our children. As a father, we have a responsibility with our child, even when we die by leaving him an inheritance. We see that in Jesus. Jesus didn't just say, listen, you accepted me. Okay, that's fine. So now go do what you need to do. No, he said, I will always be with you wherever you go. God provided for the Israelites not only when they walked out of Egypt, but he was there with them all the way through, providing manna, providing that their clothes didn't wear, and taking them to the promised land. And even though when they were there, he was there with them. God is not in business for just to have a social relationship with people. We see that when we look at the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that God walked and talked with Adam. That is not a regular relationship. That is a fatherly relationship. Everything we see in the garden, all the provisions, everything God created for Adam, is something that a father would do. That's not something that a friend would do. Who would give Adam everything he needed? And what father wouldn't want to give his son the best? Friends, we don't need to know Jesus as a man. We need to know Jesus as God and our Father. Father God, tonight we give you thanks, Lord, for giving us revelation of who and who we are as your children. Father, forgive us for at times we do not know what we do. But Father, we thank you for dying on the cross and giving us freedom to be reunited with you. Tonight we just want to say thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you for listening tonight. Been tuning in to Radio Redemption and Power. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, or you can also contact us via the contact link, or you can download the app so you can be able to listen to the program at your convenience, either through the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. You can also reach us at 305-320-7727 or at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
1 Corinthians 4:20.
The King, come and live.